Gemara Daf and Gimel Beis continues with Rava's Chiddush that Hachash is considered to be Tchilas Hazama. In order to prove his case, he mentions the following raya from the Braisa. Rava maintains that if you have a case of Eidim Shehuchu Hushof Uzmu, that if there is a case first of Hachash followed by a case of Hazama, then Neheragim the Eidim are killed. The case simply is you have two Kitei Eidim Achishim Zeze, for example, that Reuven Harag Shimon. And afterwards, there are Eidim who come, and they are Mazim, one of the Kitei Eidim. In that case, that even though, right, it was already subject to Hachasha, so Rava maintains, nonetheless, they are killed B'toras Hazama. What is the raya that this is true? That we assume that Hachosh is Tchilas Hazamahi. So here, the Gemara quotes a Braisa that has a Reisha and a Seifa, and at least at first attempt, Rava is bringing a raya from the Reisha. Here, Eidim come and say that the Adon is chayiv because sime es ein avdo v'achar kach hipil eshino. First, he went ahead and he blotted out his eye, and then he knocked out his tooth. In that particular case, the result of that edus would be is that the eved goes free with the first of the Rosh Eivarim, and then the adon would be chayiv in order to go ahead and to pay for the second. In this particular case, right, if the order is eino and then shino, so in such an instance, right, he would be yotze v'cheirus, and then he would be obligated to pay for that second act. The Braisa continues and tells us the following, that shaharei harav omer king. After all, that in that instance, right, the rav, the adon, right, is satisfied with that being the case. And the Braisa continues and tells us, if in fact nimtzu zomamin, if it turns out that they were lying in that instance, so then mishamim demei ayin le'evid. They're obligated to go ahead and to pay demei ayin for that particular evid. The Gemara points out that this Braisa, at first glance, is something which is very difficult. How in fact could that be? Why should they have to pay demei ayin for the eved? After all, the intent of these eidim was for the betterment of the eved. The eved would go free. It was l'tov aso. If anything, they should go ahead and have to pay the adon for their attempted loss of the eved, that he would be yotzei l'cherus. And furthermore, then why is it that the Braisa tells us that Shaharei Harav Omer came, indicating that the Adon would be very satisfied with the Seidus? Of course, he wouldn't be satisfied with the Seidus at all. The case is that he's Chayiv L'Shalem, and his Evid is Yotzei L'Cherus. So obviously, one cannot interpret the Braisa at face value, that is talking about a straight case of Eidim that come, and subsequently they are subject to Hazama. So Rava maintains it must be that there are three different tiers, three different sets of Eidim. The first is the case of Hipul Eshino and Bachar Kach Sime Es Eino. That is the assertion of the first Kat. And then it's subject to a Hachasha. Eidim subsequently come and tell us that it's true, the Adon did that, but the order was quite reversed. First it was Eino followed by Shino. And then it turns out that Benimtsu Zomin. It turns out that the second Kat, right, were absolutely lying. Imano Ha'isam, in such a case, their Eidus was subject to Hazama. So that is what the Braisa tells us, that the second Kat of Eidim, they are the ones who are obligated to pay Demei Ayin Le'evim. Both of the Kitei Eidim agree that the Seva would in fact go free, but in that instance they're obligated to pay the Demei Ayin for the Evim. Good? So that's what Rava says, that apparently you see that Hachasha is Tchilas Hazamahi. If you would assume this is not the case, that would automatically mean at the time of the Haggadah Seidus of the second Kat, that was already subject to the Hachasha of the first Kat, and therefore we should argue that the Eidus is absolutely batel. In that case, you can no longer have the possibility of Hazama at all. The fact that we allow for the Hazama to subsequently occur, so therefore that is the raya that Hachasha is Tchilas Hazama. That is Rava's raya. Abayi says that that certainly is not the case, because that is not pshat in the Braisa at all. But rather the Braisa is referring to a different seer entirely. What is the Reisha of the Braisa referring to? So here, Tosus de Ramaskel Amalei Abayi puts forth two possibilities in the name of the Ri. The Pirush Rishon of the Ri is the following, that Aliba de Abayi, that Braisa is referring to Shnei Kitei Eidim. Not three, as Rava maintained, but rather it's referring to two Eidim. The first one comes and says that first Eino, followed by Shino, against what Rava says. First Ayin, and then Shein. And then the second Kat of Eidim, Avchinhu Va'azminu. That's the Chiddush of Abaye. The second Kat, they contradict, And also, they state, Imanu Ha'isen. Avchinhu means that first they say Shino followed by Eino, and furthermore they say, and you should realize, Imanu Ha'isen, that you could not have testified to be able to determine that fact. The Re, of course, is bothered now by the following, Avchinu Va'azminhu, the Lashon of the Gemara, seems to indicate that first there was Hachasha, followed by a case of Hazama. Tosfos is bothered that that seems somewhat difficult. Because after all, if you assume as Abai is maintaining that there's no raya to Rava Shita, that Hachasha Tchilas Hazamahi, and therefore maybe you could argue that Al Yedei Hachasha, all of a sudden the Eidus is Batel, so how can Abai say Avchinhu Va'azminu? Why not assume that after the Hachasha, the Eidus is considered to be Batel? So Tosfos puts forth two possibilities. One is Avchinhu Va'azminu is Lav Dafka, that really the Hazama is first. The first thing they said was Imanu Ha'isen. That certainly is considered to be a legitimate Hazama. And then afterwards they say, and you should realize that it did occur, but the order was quite the reverse. The first case was Shino followed by Eino. That's one possibility. Or the rewrite the second possibility, relevant to what we just discussed, and that is that no, the Seder of the Gemara is Bedavka, Avchinhu Va'azminhu, however, this Eidus was Tol Kedei Dibur. And if it is considered to be Tol Kedei Dibur, then certainly is Kedibur Dami, it's viewed as though the Eidus is Bas Achas, and in such a case, even if you were to assume that Hachasha is Lav Tchilas Hazamehi, Bamed V'Ramamurim, when there is a different window of time, first the Hachasha, and then after a lapse, there is the Hazama. If, in fact, it is done Tol Kedei Dibur, so in such a case, then one would certainly assume that the Hazama could, in fact, continue. But either way you understand, whether this is based on Tol Kedei Dibur, or whether the Gemara really is Lav Dafka, first Hazama as opposed to Hachasha, Abayi maintains that you cannot prove from this Braisa that Hachasha is Tchilas Hazama. After all, we're not dealing with a Hachasha followed by Hazama, we're talking about the Kat Hasheni, that they testify to Hachasha as well as Hazama. And therefore, either we view it as Basachas, or the first thing they did was the Hazama followed by the Hachasha. The second possibility that you find in the Re is that no, even Abai agrees that we are dealing with a case of three different Kitei Eden. Just as Rava says that is Pshat in the Braisa, Abai maintains that that is true as well, and you have to add the following complicating factor. Eden number one come, and they say first was Shein, followed by Ayin. That's how Rav explained the first set of Eden. And then the second set of Eden come, and they flip that order, and they say that's not true. Ayin followed by Shein, and therefore that's the case of Hachasha. And furthermore, they are Mazim, the first Kat, Imanu Ha'isim. Then you have a third Kat of Eden. The way the Tosfos presents it, the third Kat of Eden substantiates what the first Kat said, first Shein, followed by Ayin, but additionally they are Mazim, the second Kat as well. So there are two different acts of Hazama. You have the Kat Sheni, which is Mazim, the Kat Arishon, and you have the Kat Shlishi, which is Mazim, the Kat Hasheni. So in that particular case, what would the Chiyu be? The second Kat came to Mazim the Rishon, and all of a sudden Adim came up and said, your attempt at Hazama, ridiculous. Imanu Ha'isen, that certainly was not true. So in that particular case, what is the Chiyu incumbent upon that second Kat? So they have to pay Dmei Ayin le'Eved because they wanted to deprive the Eved of Dmei Ayin. After all, what the first Kat said was true. First Shein, followed by Ayin. That would mean that the Eved goes free with Shein, and now he's entitled to Dmei Ayin. When they came and said, Imanu Ha'isen, they wanted to deprive the Eved of that, and in such a case, they have to go ahead and to pay Dmei Ayin le'Eved. So that's exactly what the Braisa said. Tosfos again is bothered, that wouldn't be the extent of their chiyu. They would also have to go ahead and pay Dmei Ayin to the first Kat as well. Because after all, when they testified that there was Hazama, there was a dual ramification. Number one is that they were depriving the Eved, otherwise Eved would have been entitled. Number two, by stating Imanu Ha'isen Kashozama, they wanted to be Mechayiv the first Kat to pay the Dmei Ayin, because they wanted to be Mechayiv the Adam to go ahead and do so. So Tosfos writes, Enochinami, that is true. the hazama that would result of being mazin the second ka is a dual chiyuv of tamei ayin. You have to pay tamei ayin to the eved because they were being mazin the eved what he was entitled to, and they have to pay tamei ayin to the kat rishon because they were attempting to obligate them in paying that, and therefore the kasher zama. Good. So number one is you have to kind of read that into the Gemara. In other words, the Braisa was really only interested in terms of that first tier. The Braisa was not discussing what the aid has to pay to satisfy the hazama of the other aid, but at least that explains in the Braisa Meshalim Demei Ayin Le'evin. Furthermore, right, Tosus points out that according to this you have to assume that the Seder again, right, is Lav Dafka. Right, after all, because the Seder of the third Kaz is one of Hachasha followed by Hazama, right, according to Abaye, either that would only be as Tokrid Ibur, or you have to assume that no, that first Hazama followed by Hachasha, because again Abaye is trying to maintain that Hachasha is Lav Tchilas Hazama. And then Tosus makes a further comment as well, that you know, that entire statement, what does the third Kaz say? They say that Shein followed by Ayin. And then they say Iman o Isim. There are two difficulties with it. Number one is the order. Hachasha first and then Hazama. Isn't that a Raya to Rav? Then Hachasha Tchilas Hazama. Well, number one, you have to assume that either the order is reversed or it's all Tolkid Ibur. Number two is the following. Why is that even necessary? Why is it necessary that Kat 3 has to take a stand right on this issue? Now, Kat 1 says Shein Ayin. Kat 2 says Ayin Shein. Good. If you will be Mazim, Kat 2... So in such a case, they are negated, and the first kat now is revitalized. What they say goes, right? We believe the first kat. After all, if there's any possibility of hazama, it means there was already a gemar din, and bez din, right, already gave a psak halacha to support the first kat. If all of a sudden the second kat says and discredits them, but it turns out that their edus was false, it was subject to hazama, in such an instance, we'll discredit too, we'll reinstate. Number one, Seinu Chinami, even according to that seer of the Ri's second possibility within Abaye, that whole issue of the Hachasha really is that which is Lav Dafka. All we're concerned about is that Kat 3 is Mazim Kat 2, and now Kat 2 is obligated to go ahead and to pay. But the fact that Kat 2 was subject to a Hachasha and a Hazama, so therefore there's no Raya at all to our issue of Hachasha Tchilas Hazamahi. So whereas Rava tried to attend that this is true from the goof HaBraisa, Abaye says that no, the Braisa can be interpreted in other ways as well. Good? Now, the Gemara continues and tells us the following. Who says that that was indeed what Rava intended? Bringing a Raya from the Reisha. Maybe the Raya that was being brought was from the Seifa of the Braisa. And therefore, one has to understand very differently. The Seifa mentions this case, that the Edim come, and the Edim say that you, the Adon, first you knocked out his tooth, Shein, followed by that of Ayin. And the Braisa tells us, Sarei ha-Eved Omer came. And the Eved is very happy with that testimony. After all, he'll go free. And furthermore, he will collect the most, because Demei Ayin certainly is far greater than Demei Shein. So therefore, the Eved is very satisfied. And all of a sudden now, all of a sudden it turns out that there is Hazama. So the Braisa says, in that case, the Eidim are obligated to pay Demei Ayin to the Adam. Now, the Gemara is very bothered. That Pashup Shat Braisa also is very difficult. That's all they would have to do, is pay Demei Ayin to the Adam. The Gemara says, Hari Demei Kula Eved Sarek L'Shalim L'Rav. No. Their Iker Ha'edus was that Eved goes free. It so happens that during the sequence of Shein followed by Ayin, in addition to that, there would have to be a payment of Demei Ayin. But what about the fact that they were attempting to have the Eved free, and that was absolutely false? So the Gemara says, you are right. What exactly is the case? You're going to have to reinterpret the Braisa in Seifa, just as we did in the Reisha. So here Rava says the following. The Reish is referring to three different stages. First it is Shein, followed by Ayin, and there was the Gemar Din, that the Adam is Chayav to Beit Dmei Ayin, and the Seven would go free. And all of a sudden you have a second Kat that comes in as Machish. No, the order is reversed. It was Ayin followed by Shein. And then you have a third Kat that shows up, and they are Mazin, the Kat Harishon. in that particular case, they have to pay the Dmei Ayin to the Adam. The bottom line, of course, is that everyone agrees that this occurred, that there was Rosh Eivarim, so the Eved, in fact, will go free. The issue simply is the sequence in such a case. That is why you pay Dmei Ayin. The Miri points out Dmei Ayin here means the differential between Shein versus Ayin, because everyone agrees that both of the Rosh Eivarim, right, were damaged by the Adam. But that is Rabbi's Raya, that HaKosha Tchilas HaZama. Because if he would argue that is not true, HaKosha Lav Tchilas HaZama, in such a case you should argue when you have the first cut and the second cut, that HaMachishim says that, that's it, they should be dismissed entirely, and therefore there's no longer a possibility of HaZama at all. That was the Raya of Rabbi. And here, right, Abaye disagrees and says, no, there's no raya even from the Seifa as well. Because the Seifa is referring to two Kitei Eidim. The Seifa is a very simple case. That the first eid said Shein followed by Ayin, and the second said Ayin, which was followed by Shein, and also engaged in a case of Hazama. So in that particular case, that is what they have to pay, the Dmei Ayin to the Adam, because they were attempting to be Mechayiv the Adam, Dmei Ayin. And of course the Abaye says you cannot prove from there in any shape or form that issue of Hachasha Tchilas Hazamahi, because after all, right here, the Hachasha and the Hazama were done through the same kat, and therefore it is not considered to be any Raya at all. Okay, so that's the shock with the Tari of the Gemara with the Tadeus and the Ri in terms of how it is that Abaye would understand, right, the Resha trying to argue that we cannot prove Hachasha Tchilas Hazam. That's the shock with the Tari of the Gemara. If you look in the Resha tells us the following. Simeas in Avdo, Hippolishino, Benim Sezonin. So in such a case then, Meshans Me Ayin Le'evin. The Gemara says, isn't that difficult? No? After all, if that is the case, so they shouldn't only have to pay for the Dmei Ayin, but Kula Eved L'Rav Vayilish L'Milei, that everything should in fact be paid, and that is what led the Gemara to assume that no, that Hocham Ayaskin, we're talking about a more complicated case of several tiers of Eidus. But the Rambam in fact writes, again, it's difficult to fit into Raisa, but the Psak Halacha certainly is true. And this is what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Eidus for Chavala Falacha Dalet. The Rambam writes, what happens if he idu avoni shehipol shein avdo? If Edom come forward and say that this person, right, Adam knocked out the tooth of his Eved, and then biachar kach sima es heino, and all of a sudden it was subject to a hazama. So the Rambam writes, in that case, mishamim la'adon d'mei ha'eved u d'mei heino. Of course, you're obligated for a dual tashlumin. What was the attempt of that first kat? Well, number one, they wanted to have the Eved freed. Number two, they wanted to go to be Mechayiv the Eved for Dmei Ayin. So in such a case, they're obligated to go in to pay the Adon for that attempt. Dmei HaEved, because the attempt was that the Eved would be a Ben Chorin, and furthermore, Dmei Ayin as well. So again, our Gemara just mentions that was the difficulty in Braisa. Why does the Braisa just simply say Dmei Ayin? The Braisa should say that they're obligated to pay the Adam everything. See, even though the Gemara has to reinterpret the Braisa, but that statement certainly was true, that in such a case, where the first cut was subject to Hazama, they have to pay for the entire Eved, plus they have to pay Dmei Ayin as well. So the Mishnah Malachemet Rambam, Perachapala Falachadalid, is bothered by the following question. Is it so obvious that you have to pay the Dmei HaEved? Maybe you should only have to pay Dmei Ayin. Why does our Gemara dismiss, right, the Brice out of hand? And why does the Rambam write that even though you're right, it's not Pshat and Brice, but nonetheless it certainly is true, that the Eidim have to pay, right, Dmei HaEved Kula La'adon? Why in fact should that be? After all, in order for Hazama to occur, as Rashi points out in our sugya, there is a somewhat short window of time. It must be that Nigmar Hadin, Rashi points out, just simply, what exactly does that mean? It means that Edom came, and Rashi writes, Nigmar Hadin Alpiyem. And it must be that Bezin issued the Psak Halacha, and that of course was before the Hakasha. Because if the Hakasha occurred prior to any possibility of Gemar Din, that's it, it never reached that stage, that it's subject to hazama at all. So we're talking about a case of la'achar gemardin. Okay, so good, la'achar gemardin. Why is that difficult? But Mishnah Melech is bothered by the following. There's a further limitation. Just as hazama cannot occur too early, hazama cannot occur too late. That's the sugyan makos nafheim and beis of hargo ein neherogim. Bezdin come to forward, Edom come before Bezdin, right? And they say that Reuven harag is Shimon. If Bezdin will issue a psak halacha and they put Reuven to death, in such a case, if Edom will subsequently come and say Imano ha'isem, that's it. It's too late for Hazam at that particular point. Why is that true? Hargo ein neherogim. If they are successful in putting these Edom, the Edom are successful in putting the Baal Din to death and creating a chiyuv, ein neherogim. And that is the drush of Kasha Zama, below Kasha Rasa. If they attempted to do so, that was their scheme, then there's a chiyuv. However, if Kasha Asa, if they were successful in doing so, in that instance, then there is no such chiyuv. Now, it's true that Sukin Makos Nafheim Udbeis, her going to Herogin is a very limited context. That is referring to Dinei Nefashos. What would the halacha be in those cases? When it comes to our Gemara, cases of Dinei Mamonos, or when it comes to Shar Oshin, for example, when it comes to Dinei Malkus. The Mishnah Melech assumes, and this is the day of several Rishonim, that just as there's halacha of Hargoi Neherogin, its source is Kasher Zaman, lo Kasher Asa, so Kasher Asa is not limited to Dinei Nefashos. Kasher Asa could apply even to cases of other Onshei Haguf, for example, Malkus, or it could apply even to Onshei Mamon as well. This is, right, a view of several Rishonim, and this is what the Ritva writes in the very beginning of Maseches Makos, in the Beis, that the halach of Hargo Ein Neherogin, that's the example of the Gemara, but nonetheless, that this is true when it comes to other Onshin or Chiyuvei Tashlumin. And the Shita Mukhabet says in the very beginning of Bava Kamma and of Dalam Beis, writes this the name of Rabbi Yonasan, that halach of Kasher Zaman or Kasher Asa applies to Mammon and to Malkus as well. These are Tudeus and the Mukhe Yosef, and Baba Basra and Daphne and Vav and Beis. Whether, again, Hargoi Neherogin sounds like Nefashos, but the drush of Kasher Zaman or Kasher Asa seems to be broadened. So the Mishnah Melech is very bothered. If this halacha of Kasher Zaman or Kasher Asa applies universally, so then how do you understand our Gemara? How do you understand the view of the Rambam? I understand when you're speaking about Achiv Tashlumin. Bezin will issue a psak halacha that one is chayim. But then, there's a next step. The step is that the onesh must be enforced. The person is chayim misa, and then dinei nefashos. Misa bezin. So I understand you can have a window of time where that is true. However, if you're dealing with the case of shein va'ayin, the second tashlumin, I understand. Bezin says, chayiv l'shalim. That's the psak halacha. As of yet, if the tashlumin did not yet occur, that is called kasher zama, but as of yet, not kasher asa. However, if you're dealing with the fact that rosh evarim, and the result of that is that the eved is immediately yotzei l'cheiros. It's not that now we require a second stage, that the other is meshachra the eved. But Yetziya Barosh Evarim means now the Eved is an Eved Meshuchrar. So in that particular case, Mishnah Melech writes, how should you ever be Chayim? What is the Kasha of our Gemara in the very beginning? Zimei Kula Eved L'Rav Bayi L'Shlume. How could that be? Since Nigmar Dino, that the Eved was abused, in such a case, the Lashon of the Mishnah Melech is Harehu Tafos Ba'atzmo, V'Havdei Kasher Osa, V'lo Kasher Zama. The Mishnah Melech leaves with the Tzarech Iyun. How can that be? Again, the Gemara just uses this as a kash against the Braisa, but the Rambam writes this is very true lahalacha. We have to reinterpret the Braisa, but that psak halacha certainly is true. That if in fact you would have an instance of Shein versus Ayin and it's subject to Hazama, so therefore Mishalim Ha'adam as Zimei Ha'eved, and also the second Aver in the case that I mentioned, Zimei Eino is well. So how do you understand the fact that this is the case? So one possibility, and one could argue, is against the Ritzvah, right, against the Shittim of Kobetzes, against that Deinim of Kehosei, that perhaps it is not the case at all. Maybe her going to Herogin does not apply to cases of Dinim Amanos. There is no such comparable halacha. This is the Chiddush of Tosus, Bava Kama and Avdal Mabeis, where Tosus is bothered right, by the following. The Gemara Bava Kama, Dalad Mabeis, quotes the Brice of Tanur Rabbi Chiya telling us that there are 24 Avos Nizokim. Among them is Edim Zomim. So Edim Zomim is considered to be, right, one of the examples of the Avos Nizikim. The Gemara even comments on Daf Hei Amud Aleph that Edim Zomim Mamonohu, that Edim Zomim is considered to be a case of Mamon. And that, Bechorah, is very difficult. In what sense do we assume that Edim Zomim is considered to be a Chiyuv Mamon? We always understand Chiyuv Mamon in the following sense, that I caused you a Hefsid Mamon, and the Torah insists that I have to compensate or I have to restore. Something must be done, either Hashlama Sachefet, or to compensate you for your loss. That's clear. Is that really the case when it comes to Edim Zomim? After all, you're chayif for kasha zamam for the intent of being mafsid mamon. Were you actually mafsid mamon? You were not. There was an attempt to go ahead and do so. But would that be called a chiyuv mamon? And especially if you assume, as the Ritva does, as the Shittim HaKabet says, that if you were successful in being mafsid mamon, then you're a potter. So certainly the chiyuv is not corresponding to hefsid mamon. If you were mafsid the mazik in such a case, you are a potter. The only time you are chai is if there was no hefsid mamon. So how is it that you can argue that this is considered to be among the avos nizikin, and that furthermore that edim zomim, as the Gemara writes in Nafheim and Alph, is considered to be a case of mamon? The Rashba discusses this issue of akama heim and alph termasvo edim zomim. The Rashba writes the following: the Gemara says edim zomim mamonahu. It means mishum da'asu la'afsude mamon. There was an attempt. There was an attempt to be mafsid mamon. But the Rashba continues, umihu betosus. This is a reference to the Tosus in Bava Kama Dafdal Mabeis, Ramaskal Be'edim Zomim. First, Tosus writes the name of the Riva, no? That even though when it comes to Din Nefashos, Hargoi Neheragin, that is not true when it comes to cases of Dinim Amanos. When it comes to Dinim Amanos, there's no halach of Kasha Zomam below Kasha Rasa. Why exactly is that true? Tosus has two, right, very different possibilities. Tosus first quotes the name of the Riva, because when it comes to Dinim Amanos, Efshar Bechazar. Efshar Bechazar. There's no finality to Dinim Amanos. In principle, you might be right. There is a concept of Kasha V'Kasha Asa. So when a person's life is taken, he's killed by Beis Din, one cannot retract. When it comes to cases of Dinim Amanos, in such a case, very simply, even if you paid already, so Beis Din can insist that the payment be returned. So therefore, there really is no Kasha Asa, and therefore in Dinim Amanos that is not the case. And the Tosus quotes the Chiddush of the Ri that also maintains that the halach of Kasha Zom la Kasha Asa does not apply to the case of Dinim Amanos, but for a very different reason. The Ri writes, Kal v'chomer. After all, if one is chayyeh for Kasha Zomam, well, of course, one is chayyeh for Kasha Asa. Yeah, but isn't that against everything? Har goin neheragin. No, so the Ri explains that depends on onshin or in onshin min hadin. When it comes to areas of Dinim Amanos, one can utilize the Kal v'chomer of Onshin Min Hadin. When it comes to, right, Onshe Haguf, Malkus, Misa, certainly that's not true, ain't Onshin Min Hadin. So therefore the Posuk says, Kasha Zaman. You want to argue Kal v'chomer, Kasha Zaman, Koshke, and Kasha Rasa? That's fine in the realm of Dinim Amanos, but not when it comes to Onshe Haguf or Dinim Nefashos. In such a case, that is why Hargo ain neheragin. So the Ri and the Rivav, for two very different reasons, right, disagree with the Chiddush of Tosus, right, disagree with the Chiddush of the Ritva and the Chiddush of Shitur Kobetzes, and assume that there is no such halacha when it comes to Dinim Amunas. If that's true, you understand the Gemara Kipshuta, that there's no halacha of Kasha and the Kasha Asa, and the Gemara writes that Kasha Zaman would of course require that you have to pay the Adam for the Kula Dmei Ha'eved that one in fact was attempting to be mafsid. There is a Chiddush that the Pnei Yoshua writes. It's found in the beginning of Maseches Makos, Divrei Maskil Piska Mishum Rabbi Akiva, the Beis Mabeis, where the Pnei Yoshua writes the following, that Rabbi Akiva, in fact, refers to Edim Zomin not as Mamon, but Edim Zomin as a Chiyuv Knas. Why is Rabbi Akiva referred to this as a Chiyuv Knas? Exactly because of this point that Bnei Yoshua writes. Because there was no concrete Hefsid Mamon. You were not Mafsid. After all, right, you attempted, but you were caught. That is why it's considered exactly to be a knas. And he quotes that that's the mashmos of Rashi, the reason it's considered to be a knas. After all, because they were not mafsid mamon at all. And the Pnei Yoshua writes a very great chiddush lefi zeh, mashma dehecha shekfar shumu habalim al pi ha'ediv. The Pnei Yoshua writes, therefore, according to the Riva and the Ri, that there's no halacha of kasha zaman below kasher asa. Therefore, if indeed they were successful at imposing the particular onesh, then everyone would agree that Edim Zomin is a chiyuv mamon. It is not a chiyuv knas. When Rabbi Akiva maintained that Edim Zomin is a knas, well, if you hold as the Shitu Kobetzes and the Ritva, that the only time you're ever chayiv for Edim Zomin is Kasha Zom Velo Kasha Asa, you understand very well, it's considered to be a knas. But if you will argue, as the Ri and the Riva, that Kasha Zomam and Afilo Kasha Asa, so now you have to split Kasha Zomam, that's when Rabbi Kiva said that's a knas. Kasha Asa, right, that is a straight chiyuv mamon. The Edim are obligated to pay because they were mafsin, the Bali mamon. And therefore, even though Rabbi Akiva says that Edim Zomin is considered to be a Chiyuv Knas, and therefore Moda B'Knas is Potter, that's only in Kasher Zaman, but not in the case of Kasher Asa, in Great Chiddush, that Pnei Yoshua suggests. Pnei Yoshua is further bothered. If this is really true, that when it comes to the case of Edim Zomin Kasher Zaman, and there was no real Hefsid Mamon to the Nitva, the Tovea brings these Edim that the Nitva is Chayiv, and it turns out Imanu Yisem. So why does anyone disagree with Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva calls this a Knas. What's the other alternative? It's a Chiyuv Mamon. How is it a Chiyuv Mamon? They were not Mafsid Mamon. So my time is Rabbanan. So Pnei Yoshua writes a further Chiddush, and that is that no, the other alternative is the following. According to the Chachamim, Tashlume Edim Zomin is Mishum Kapara. You know, Mishum Hachim Ichai V'Rabbanan Al Piatzim. You just see Chiddush. The Machlokis is not whether it's considered to be Knas versus straight Mamon. No one can argue that Kasher Zomim is Mamon. You can argue Kasher Asa is Mamon, if indeed that is the case. The Riva and the Ri. The other two options are as to whether it's considered to be knas or whether it's considered to be kapara. And we discussed earlier the many differences, the seven afkaminas between tashlumi kapara as opposed to straight tashlumi mamon. But that's the machlokas Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim regarding hodah. Moda b'knas is pater. Moda, when it comes to a case of kapara, you're not pater. And in such a case, that is why the Chachamim maintain that one is considered to be chayiv in that particular case. How is it that you can consider this to be a chiyuv mamon? After all, kasha zamam, you are not mafsid mamon. So true, you attempted to do so. But how do you view the chiyuv tashlumin? You did the wrong thing, it was edu sheker. I understand there's an onesh. But why should you view that as a chiyuv mamon? So Rabbi Kiva says it is not. The Chachamim say that no, Moda is chayiv. So the Pnei Yosha writes, his chiddush is called tashlumei kapara. Is there another possibility? It's an interesting chiddush you find Rabbi Chanan writes. This is in the Kovet Shirim in Ksuvis, in Oz Kuches, where Rabbi Chanan writes the following. It's a chav, Rabbi Chanan writes. Ein chiyuv in mitzat atzman, ela shechiyuv oshel hanidon, nofel alayim. That's what kasher zama means. Kasher zama does not simply mean that you pay the amount. It also means that the nature of the tashlumin is also subject to kasher zama. Edim are made, right, that Reuven was chovel de chavero, and it turns out, right, edim zomim, kasher zama. Kasher Zamam also describes the nature. We'll label that Al-Pidin as Dmei Chavala, because that's what they were intending to enforce. And therefore, if they were intending to enforce a Chiyuv Mamam, so therefore, that is what the Kasher Zamam accomplishes as well. Interesting Chiddush. And that's why the Chachamim maintain that in a case of Mamam, we wouldn't do Samoda B'Knas as Bata, because they are treated with the same mode of Tashlumin. Not the same amount of the Tashlumin alone. The same mode of the Tashlumin as they were attempting to enforce. An interesting Chiddush. The Rambam is clearly against the Chiddush of Tosfos. We pointed out the one extreme is that we always assume Kasher Zamam below Kasher Asa. That's the Chiddush of the Ritva, the beginning of Makos, the Chiddush of Shidim Kabet says. The other extreme is the view that you find of Tosus, that no, when it comes to Dinim Amanos, that is not true. Other position. According to Tosus, what would the halacha be when it comes to Dinim Alkos? Why is Mammon different? Well, Tosus said two possibilities. One possibility is Efshe v'Chazara. The other possibility is Onshim and Hadin, Kavachomer. Well, if you're working with either one of these possibilities, clearly then, Malkus would side with Nefashos. After all, Onshi Haguf are not subject to revocation. Bezin gives someone Malkus. Efshe b'chazara? Of course not. It's like Din Nefashos. Onshin Min Hadin? When it comes to Dini Malkus, of course, Ein Onshin Min Hadin. When it comes to Mammon Onshin Min Hadin. So therefore, it's clear that even though Tosfos writes there's an exception to Kasher Zamam or Kasher Asa, Mammon is an exception, but all Onshei HaGuf are similar to Nefashos, of Haragoyin and Haragin. And that's against the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Chaf Halacha Beis of Hilchos Eidos writes very literally, Haragoyin and Haragin. This is uniquely true when it comes to Din Nefashos. But this is not true when it comes to Mammon, nor is it true when it comes to Dini Malkus as well. Neherag zeh she'idolav v'yachar kachuzmu eino neheragin min hadin. How are going neheragin? Kasher zamam and va'adayin lo'asa v'dover zemipi ha'kabala. But the Rambam continues, aval im laka zeh she'idolav, of course lokin. How are going neheragin? But it doesn't apply to Dinim Alkos. And v'chem iyatza mamam miyad ze liyad ze. So of course, that's subject to Hazama. The Rambam writes that Malkus is like Mammon. That's obviously against the Ritva, against the Shittu Gebetzes, but also against Tosus. Because Tosus has two reasons why Mammon should be different that would not apply to Dinim Alkos. So how in fact could that be? So if you look in Kesef Mishnah, Kesef Mishnah offers two fascinating possibilities in the Rambam. One is the Kesef Mishnah mentions a teretz which is found in a very different context. If you look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara has a very difficult drasha, and the Rasha quotes right the Chiddush of the Smag. When it comes to one who is Mavir Mizara Chalamolech, it's terrible. Donish of Misa. The Torah tells us Mizara Chalamolech. So the Gemara has an unusual drasha. Mi zaracha velo kol zaracha. That's the Gemara's drasha. If a person has many children, and mi zaracha, some of them, maver mi zaracha lamolech, then there's an onesh. What about if he does this to all of the children? Kol zaracha, then that is not true. So again, how can that be? Mi zaracha v'lo kol zaracha. How do you understand that? So the Marshan that Sugya Sanher Samagimel quotes the Smag that writes the following: Godol avona minsa. Godol avona minsa. Sometimes the avera is so great that the onesh is insufficient. Like onshin are not just simply retribution. Onshin is a form of a kapara. And sometimes we'll assume gadol avona minso. Mises mechaperes, right? For mizaracha lamolech. Kol zaracha. Bezin will deal with him in a different way. He doesn't have, so to speak, the schuz, right? The mises bezin were mises mechaperes. In fact, the Marsha adds, in the name of the Smag, that maybe that is what is driving the halacha generally of ein onshin min hadin. If onshin are considered to be tools for kapara, so in such a case it makes perfect sense to assume ein onshin min hadin. After all, right? If the Torah grants kapara for an avera kala, so certainly for an isra which is chamor. The Ketzimishah suggests that this is true of Kasha Zom or Kasha Asa. For an attempted onesh, Kasha Zom is sufficient. But if one is successful in doing so, that is not the case. And perhaps this is only true when it comes to Din Nefashos. When you are guilty of taking someone else's life, then Godol Avona Minso. If you're dealing with any other type of onesh, whether it's onshe mam or even onshe haguf, we don't assume that that is true, and therefore there's no halacha of har going to haragin. That's the first possibility that the Keser Mishnah writes. Keser Mishnah then continues and writes a second possibility that you find in the Ramban. The Ramban in Dvarim Yutes. Right, on the psukim of Kasha Zoma, it's how can it be that there's halacha of Kasha Zoma about Kasha Asa? So Ramban writes, right, this beautiful chiddush, that who put this person to death? Right, this was done through the Sanhedrin. So how could it be that the Sanhedrin might put someone to death inappropriately? So the Ramban writes that Eino Chinami, that cannot be. Hine koza mala gedola b'shovte Yisrael and v'havtacha shakarash baruch hu maskim al yodam v'imahem b'dvar mishpat. And that is why the Pasuk says v'amdu shnei anashim asher lifnei mariv lifnei Hashem elokim nitza badaskel. Why is it that you have a Sanhedrin lishkas agazis hashras hashchina? Because there is hashras hashchina, not for every bezdin, but when something is done in the realm of Din Nefashos, Sayyidei HaSanhedrin. And therefore, if this Sanhedrin in fact put this person to death, it must be Kuhu Ba'avon Omeis. It must be that that person was guilty. Eino Chinam, they were lying. But the person ultimately is guilty. Right? It must be that Bechet Omeis, Ve'ilo HaYatzadik, Lo Yazvenu Hashem Yadam. Cannot be that a person will be a tzaddik and the Sanhedrin will put a person to death. And therefore, that's the Kasha Zaman below. Kasha Asa. That's the Chiddush that the Ramban writes. Right? It marks the uniqueness of Shovtei Yisrael, right? Especially when it comes to the realm of Din Nefashos. If that is true, if that is what is driving the Kasha Zaman below Kasha Asa, so in such a case, that is limited to Din Nefashos. We don't assume that this is true regarding every Bezdin, every Psak Halacha, that there's a sense of almost infallibility because Kadosh Baruch Hu would not sit back and allow it to occur. The Gemara is full of sugyas of a Bezdin Shita. So therefore, this has no relevance to dini mamonos, no relevance to dini malkus. Only when it comes to dini fashos, because it must be ba'avonomes. Very fascinating chiddush. If you look in the Ritva in Malkus Nafim Abayz, the Ramasul Gemara the Matana Rabbeinu, here the Ritva writes the following interesting chiddush, that afilu lemanda amra ba'alma on shimin hadin. We assume in on shimin hadin, but this is not so simple. Right, the Ritva writes, right, the sugyan and Sanhedrin daf nun dal amar aleph. Even if one would assume that no, that onshin min hadin, b'ha, when it comes to edim zomim, ain onshin, certainly ain onshin hadin. Why exactly is that true? Because after all, the edim zomim chidushu, ve'ain lavol el makam chidusho b'vad. Even if one could apply a kal v'chomer, yeah, but this is what we've been discussing the entire time. That's true. The whole assumption of expansion of binyanav and matzinu, even kal v'chomer, right, is based on the assumption that this is all inyan echad. Not true when it comes to a chidushu. In the chabala chidushu. And therefore, even though one would argue that maybe it would make sense to assume kasha zamam and koshkin kasha asa, that cannot be applied to cases of edim zamamim. Number one, that the Ritva is important as a maramakom, again, for the teretz itself, that one cannot assume kal v'chomer when it comes to edim zamamim. Number two, is that even the maskana that we assume is the view of Abaye, right, that mafreo nifsa, we do not deny the fact that there is a chiddush. And therefore, Edom Zomim is treated the halacha as a chiddushu, right? And in such a case, we still apply the principle of Ein L'chabo El Chiddusho. In fact, there's a similar comment that the Rashba has in the very beginning of Bava Kama, Daf Beis. When Tosfos discusses the issue of Onshim and Hadin, the Tosfos and Daf Beis and Aleph, Tosfos is bothered by, right, a mechilta. The pasuk says, Chiyifta Chishbor. The person uncovers a pit or it digs a pit. So the mechilta is very bothered. Well, isn't that a kal v'chomer? Let the Torah just simply say ki yiftach. If a person uncovers, he's chayiv. Well, of course, if he dug it from scratch, of course he's chayiv. So Tosfos in the Beis and Aleph writes that apparently you see from the mechilta that ain onshin min hadin. Ain onshin min hadin. Therefore, it's necessary to say both. This is a chiddush because here we're not dealing with onshin haguf. Here we're dealing with tashlumei bor, mamon. Tosfos says the sheet of the mechilta is that in onshin min hadin, even when it comes to tashlumei hezek. And Tosfos is very bothered. How can that be? Isn't it against the opening sugyas? Isn't it against the Mishnah? No? The Mishnah tells us our babas nezikin. And the Mishnah continues and tells us at great length, lo reizeh kreizeh. What is the implication of Avi Zechariah's Zeh? Why is it so important to know that? That each one is distinct. Well, it's clear from the Gemara. You know why it's so important for Mishnah to highlight that? Because if they were not distinct, the Torah would not have to mention them, because you could derive one from the other. Right? You could use a kal v'chomer. One is chayav for A, one is certainly chayav for B. So Tosfos says, doesn't the whole assumption of the Mishnah and the coming Gemara, the second half of Beis Kishadis, does that seem to imply that of course you could expand, unless you can show somehow that there's a pircha? But if not for pircha, one would go ahead and do so. That's Tosfos' issue. The whole assumption of the first sugya is that onshin min hadin, and the Mechilta writes that one cannot go ahead and do so. So the Rashba points out just the following, that no, maybe not. That mechilta is referring to bor, chiyiftach yishbor, chiyichre yishbor. And the mechilta writes the following chiddush, that bor is a chiddush. Bor is a chiddush. After all, right, bor seems to contradict all the normal halachas of dini hezek. not that I caused the hezek. Right, the nizak came and did so. The nizak came and fell into the boar himself. It's not that I went ahead and caused the maaseh hezek. Peshitu Kubetzes writes, without the pasuk of boar, you would have called this a groma. This is not a maaseh hezek. I left something uncovered and a person went and fell in, an animal fell into it. That should be called a groma b'nizakin. The fact that your chayyur for boar is a chidushu, and when it comes to boar, uniquely, then ein onshin min hadin. But not true when it comes to other such cases. So the Ritva writes this when it comes to Edom Zomin, and the Rashba writes this when it comes to Nizkei Bor, that in such a case, all these cases are treated as that which is a Chiddush, Shumei Chiddush, Lo Gar Minin. But otherwise, the possibility that one could go ahead and apply the concept of Kavach Omer, but not in our case, not to the instance of Edom Zomin. So why is it that the Rambam assumes that Din Nefashos is so different, right, from cases of Dinei Mamonos or cases of Dinei Malkus? So one possibility is the Mishnah of the Smag, another possibility is based on the Ramban. Perhaps one could suggest, right, another possibility as well in the Rambam Shita, and that is based on the following. There is a marked difference between Dinei Nefashos as opposed to Dinei Malkus or Dinei Mamonos, right, in the following sense. When is it that a person can derive an onesh based on klalim, and when do we assume that that cannot be done, that we require psukim in order to indicate that one is chayim? I'll give you an example in Sefer Mitzvos, in the Sharashim of the Rambam. In Shorash Yudalit, the Rambam is very bothered by the Halachos Gedolos, because Halachos Gedolos seems to duplicate. The Bahag will count, let's say, Shabbos as one of Tariq Mitzvos, and then the Bahag will count independently, right, the Onesh for Chilul Shabbos. Count the Isurim and the Onshin independently. We obviously always require separate psukim. You need a pasuk for the Isur, you need a pasuk for the Onesh, but the Bahag actually counts them twice. And the Rambam writes, why should that be? In Tariq Mitzvot, you're going to count each one twice. The Rambam writes, "Sheilu haya hadaber kain." If that should be true, "Hayraya gam kain shenimna komalkos amalkos bifnei atzmo." Well, if that's true, it should apply. Let's say to dini malkos, count every lav twice, the iser and the chiyav malkos. So the Rambam points out that kasha, they don't have it. Bahag is a chiddush, but that kasha one could answer very simply. Aval HaMalkus, the Ramban writes, that Eim Dinan La'elo Dimi Yafa, that's not a good analogy. Misa to Malkus? Because after all, if Yishlo needs to have Al HaMalkus B'chol Aver B'fnei Atzma, you don't require a separate pasuk to tell us that one is Chayv Malkus for violating a law. The Torah just sets up a model. Osachsam Shorbedisha, and therefore anything which is Dimi Delav Bechassim, you'll get Malkus. The principle. When it comes to Shar On Sheh HaTorah, the Torah has a principle, klalim, through which a person can derive a particular onesh. The Ramban writes, but this is not true when it comes to Misa. Why is it that one is Chayav Misa? Because the Torah says so. The Torah says so in Shabbos and Avodah Zarah, in cases of Arayos. Each Isser, where there's an onesh of Misa, the Torah must state that explicitly. You can't rely on general guidelines in order to impose a chi of Misa. And therefore, even if one should accept, right, that position of the Halachos Gedolos, that Misa should be counted separately, yeah, that's true when it comes to Misa, but certainly not when it comes to Malkus. In the context of Malkus, there's no separate onesh. Thus, Har is considered to be sufficient. If that is true, perhaps one could argue, in our context as well, we have a pasuk that tells us kasha zaman. And the question is, can you apply a principle, a kavachoma, for example, if kasha zaman, certainly kasha rasa, can one go ahead and utilize klalim in order to expand onesh? And maybe that's the chiddush, that there's a marked difference. right, between a chiyuv mamon or a chiyuv malchus, as opposed to a chiyuv misa. In a chiyuv misa, certainly not. But according to the Rambam, when it comes to a chiyuv malchus, for example, right, that would not be the case. And therefore, the Rambam writes that halacha kasha zomer kasha asa is literally, as the Gemara writes, not by example, but literally, hargoi neharagin. So this is the third shita. Whereas according to Shita Kobetzes, universal, according to Tosas, Mamma is an exception. According to the Rambam, the Dina Fashos is considered to be an exception. Rostamichik once pointed out, right, a further possibility of understanding the Rambam, what is so unique about a case of Dina Nefashos. Tosus makes a very interesting comment when it comes to a person who violates an Avera where there is a Chiyuv or an Onesh of Misa. Tosus is bothered by the following. Right? Do we apply cases of Kimlei Derabinei when the Onshin are floating in different directions, where the Chiyuv Misa is directed toward A and the Chiyuv Mamon, right, is directed toward B? Misa lezen, mamon lezen. Do you apply a chiyuv of kimnei derabinei, or do you not? So Tosus is bothered by the following stira. Tosus writes it's a stira between the Gemara and Daf Tes, right, as opposed to the sugim baba kama daf chapez. The Gemara and Daf Tes and Beis is dealing with the case of motzi shemra. A baal is motzi shemra al ishtar. And he brings edim that this is an eishes ishes insa. So Rabbi Yosef says the following: if that happens, if the Baal will go ahead and bring Aiden, she is an Eishes Eishes Insa. What are the Aiden attempting to do? On the one hand, she's Chayv Misa, Eishes Eishes Insa. Number two is, even if for whatever reason that doesn't play out, the Chayv Misa, but they're being mapsed at her from Demek Suva. There's a relatively minor Mammon element to it, and the major issue is the issue of the Nefashas. And what happens if all of a sudden it's subject to a Hazama? So in such a case, right, what would Kasha Zaman be? Well, they were attempting to kill the woman, but also to deprive her of the Ksuva. So the Gemara says that no, that Eidi Habal Neharagin, the Eidim are killed because of Kasha Zaman, but Ein Meshami Mamon. Right? They don't have to go ahead and pay Mamon in that particular case. After all, it's a dual Chiyav of Misa and Mamon. Right, so the misa we poteres as a mamon, and therefore they are exempt. But then Rabbi Yosef continues and says the following: what happens if chazar behevi habal edim vehizimum leede ha'av? All of a sudden, the Baal says, well, "What do you mean? Discredited my edim with who? With these guys? These were hired hands, right? And you go ahead and you're mazim, right? Those edim. The Baal is mazim the ede ha'av. What did the ede ha'av attempt to do?" When the Eide Ha'av were mazim the Eide Ha'av, well, number one, right, they attempted to have the other Eidim killed. But also, they were being mechayiv to Baal mea kesef. After all, the Baal stated that this is an Eishes Eishes Insa. In such a case, he was disproven al Yidei Hazama. So in such a case, that's what the Torah says, that there's a chiyuv of Tashlumin, the Knas of Motzi Shemra. So what happens if those Edim are subject to Hazama? Chazar behevi habal Edim veizimum le'ede ha'av? In such a case, Rabbi Yosef is a very great chiddush. Neheragin u'misham in mamon. They're killed, but they also have to pay mea kesef. Why? Because mamon lezeh and misa lezeh. The mamon is because they were attempting to obligate the Baal. And the misal is because they were attempting to have the Eide Habal killed. So, apparently Rabbi Yosef says explicitly that if through Eidos there's Chiyu A addressed toward this individual, Chiyu B toward that, you can't apply the principle of Kimnei Derabinei. Kimnei Derabinei is only in a case of Misa u'mamon lechad, but not in a case of misal azeh and mamon lezeh. So Tosus is bothered, that's against everything. Is that really true? The Kimnei Derabinei is only when both Chiyuvim are toward the same individual. Like that first case we mentioned, where they were attempting to have the woman killed and also being mafsed her to make suva. And Tosa says, don't you see from earlier in Baba Kama and Daf Chavez and Mabez that that's not true? If a person will go ahead and set a fire, Eishem Mishem Chitza, and the fire will go ahead and kill someone, when is Chayiv Misa for that? Pashup Shat, Megamar. Machlokas Rishonim, but Pashup Shat, when is Chayiv Misa? Betoras Ratzeach. But also there is a Chiyuv Mamo, right? That's the fire spreads and it causes a Hefsid Mammon as well. So the Gemara is mafurish that what happens if it's Eved Dachad or Gig Dachad? What happens if the Chiyuv Mammon is toward A and a person is killed? The Gemara says, of course you assume Kimed Rabinei. If a person is a Rotzeach, he does not have to pay for Mammon, regardless of whether, right, the person who was the victim was wearing his own shirt or someone else's shirt. Right, you still say that if it's Misa L'Zeh, Mammon L'Zeh, you're considered Tei Pater. That's Tosfos Astira. So, how do you resolve these sugyas? When it comes to Edom Zomin, it's clear that Misa L'Zeh, Mammon L'Zeh, when it's Chayim. When it comes to a Rotzeach and Tashlumei Mammon, their Misa L'Zeh, Mammon L'Zeh is considered to be Pater. So Tosfos puts forth a couple of truths in one Teretz Tosfos. A very great Chiddush, the second Teretz Tosfos, that in principle, Misa L'Zeh, Mammon L'Zeh is Chayiv. Misa L'Zeh, Mammon L'Zeh is Chayiv. And that's the Sugya in Sanhedrin, in the case of Edom Zomin. If you were attempting to have the Edei HaBaal killed and also to be Machayiv, the Baal Meir Kesef, in such a case, if you're disproven on Edei HaZoma, you're obligated to pay both. Well, if that's true, so what about the case of the arsonist? Well, so why is it that we assume Kimed Raminei? So Tosfos writes a very, very Jewish. That's not called Misa L'Zeh Mammon L'Zeh. That's called Misa U'Mammon L'Zeh. Why is that called Misa Mammon L'Zeh? So Tosfos writes a Chiddush, right? Midin Rodef. Midin Rodef. You have, like the case in the Gemara, right? A person is confined to a field. Literally, he's tied to a field. That's the case in the Gemara. Eved Kafus. And a person is going to set the field on fire. That person is a Rodev. And he's Nitnat Lubanapsho. If he's a Rodev, I could kill him. I could kill him. So Tosfos writes an interesting Chiddush. In that case, then the Misa is not only directed toward the victim, the Chiyuv Misa relates to everyone. I have a right to go ahead and to kill that perpetrator, Midin Rodev. So Tosfos writes the Chiddush, that means that all of that is called Misa L'Zeh, Misa and Mammon L'Zeh. It's not that they're two independent Chiyuvim. The Mammon only relates to me and the Nefashos only relates to him. The fact that he is Rodech Achar Chaver Lahargo and the Torah says that I have a right to kill him, that means that the fact that he is a Rotzeach is relevant to me as well, and therefore that is all called Misa U'Mammon L'Chad. That's Tosfos Chiddush. That's the Tosfos writes Baba Kama. The Chafes Mabez. Tosfos says there's one exception. And that is Edom Zomin. If Edom go ahead and testify that this is an Eishes Ishes Insa, there's no Din Rodef. There's not a Rodef in that case. I know this Eid is lying. And this Eid is attempting to have this person killed. So I'm going to put the Eid out. There's not a Rodef in that case. Certainly not. So therefore, Tosfos writes Harifus, that in that instance, the Chiyuv Misa only relates to the accused. The Chiyuv Misa does not relate to anyone else. And that is why it is called Misa L'Zeh, Mammon L'Zeh. In such a case, you're Chayiv for both. In principle, only time you're Chayiv is if it's Misa L'Zeh, Mammon L'Zeh. It's just that in practice, that usually is not the case. Because in the case of Din Nefashos, where there is a Din Rodef, in such a case, the Chiyuv Misa is one which is universal. That's the Chiddush that Tosfos suggests. How exactly does that relate to us? So Slavichik once suggested, right, an interesting Chiddush, not instead of the Kesemish and everything, just as a Hashlama, right, in the following way. Whenever one has, right, a din Torah, a tviya, you have a toveya, you have a nitva, you have someone which is in fact toveya ledin, someone who will come forward and say, right, that Reuven is chayim. This is what Reuven did. Reuven borrowed money from me, caused the maisa hezek. And therefore, of course, that's how the din Torah would in fact commence, right, in that fashion. If it's a case of kasha zamam, so good, so I will go ahead and be toveya v'bezdin that this person, so to speak, right, through his edus, attempted to take my life. Let's assume, for example, that the person was successful in doing so, right? Kasha zamam and kasha asa. So, who is toveya l'din in the technical sense? Who is the bal din in that particular case? So perhaps the chiddush is the following. That generally speaking, if it's a chiyuv mamon, it's a chiyuv malkos, the toveya, right, will come forward to present the case. When it comes to a case of edim zomimin, that's not the truth. In that case, the toveya, right, was killed. In other areas, let's assume in a case of ritzicha, well, who will come forward to press the charge that Israel tzeach? Obviously, the nirtzach can't do so. The answer is that no. It's also said, generally speaking, when it comes to din nefashos, the chiyuv misa is not only directed by the victim. When it comes to din nefashos in general, I'm relevant to that case as well. Everyone is relevant to that case because nitan hatzila b'nafsho. The only time you have an instance where there's din nefashos which is only relevant to that individual, not to others, that's the chiddush that Tosa suggests when it comes to an example such as edim zomim. That's why the Gemara calls that an instance of misa lezeh and mamon lezeh. So if that's the case, maybe one could explain to an extent that that is why hargo ain't a herogim. If hargo, right, there's no baldin. In other cases of ritzicha, for example, there is a baldin because the chiyuv misa relates to everyone. Midin rode, that's what also says is called mamon and misa lechad. Mashen kein in those other cases as well. Well, we'll have to see how that expresses itself. When you're dealing with onshin that are not ben adma chavero, areas of chilul Shabbos and so on, onshin ben adma makom. But perhaps that could be a further biur of why uniquely, right, hargoin neherogin, there's no baldin. Mashen kein when it comes to other cases outside of Edom Zomin, so therefore, anyone can serve. Bezdin can serve as a toveya, because the chiyuv misa also says, in other cases, other than imzom relates to at the klal as a whole. So perhaps these are several possibilities when saying the shita saramba. The two that the Kesef Mishnah puts forth, a further possibility that when it comes to din nefashos, right, one does not utilize the klal of kal vachomer in order to state that that is true, right? And perhaps this chiddush that when it comes to imzom uniquely. So therefore, kasher zaman below kasher asa, but according to the Rambam, only in the realm of din nefashos. Again, to an extent, we'll see, that will have to be miyashiv ar gemara. If you assume that this is a broader halacha, even in din mamonos, against the Rambam and against the Chiddush HaTosfos, like the Ritva and Shittim HaKabet says, why is it so obvious that ar gemara says that you're obligated to pay, right, the dmei kula eved? Why is that true? After all, that should be a case which is considered to be a kasha zamam and kasha rasa. No further act of shichur is considered to be necessary in those particular cases. If you assume, like the other Rishonim, so therefore the Gemara is kipshuto, it tells us the Chiddush that in Dina Mamanos, there's no halakha of kasha zamam below kasha rasa. I guess we'll continue with this. We'll have to go through the details. If you haven't yet, take a look at that Tosus of Amalei Abaye, right, just working through, in the beginning, the simple details of the sugya, and then we'll have to speak about the lamdas, right, of Hachasha Tchilas Hazan. Okay.